And newspapers this morning, well, it's all about everything that happened yesterday in terms of the referendum. In fact, in order to get more about what I'm talking about, where do I go for this one again, Martina? Telephone line one. Martina, how are you doing? Are you all right?
I'm not so bad at all.
Very good. Martina Fitzgerald it is. Now, you're over in where? In the newsroom at the moment, is it?
I'm actually in the newsroom because the tallies are coming in this morning to all our staff who are working here and from all around the country. So there's a bit of an election hub, so to speak.
A bit of an election hub, is it?
There is. Just a bit.
Yeah, I'd say there is, all right. Yeah, right. Okay, political correspondent or team Martina Fitzgerald is who we're talking to here now. So the news is telling us everything in terms of yes vote, 100% confident of victory. Would that be a bit too much of a percentage?
Well, I think based on the tally so far, and they're only in early indications, but it seems across the country, all the tallies or most of the tallies are suggesting a yes vote at this stage. And obviously that, you know, plays into what people saw yesterday, this higher than expected turnout. And when there's a higher turnout in this particular poll, people were expecting that it would favour the yes side. And low turnouts, traditionally, three academics went to the bother looking at every single referendum since they began here. And when there's a low turnout, the likelihood of a no vote increases. So there you go. At the moment, all the indications are, at the moment on these early tallies, is that definitely it seems to be veering towards yes.
Well, in terms of history in the making, there might be a bunch of countries that already have what amounts to a yes, but this is the first country in the world to actually vote for a yes with a referendum like this.
That's right. This is by popular vote or by national vote that it will bring it in. Many people have brought it in through a court system. It's followed litigation, but this will actually be by national vote. So it will be, if passed, it will be historical. And I can imagine the scenes in Dublin Castle if that happens later today.
Yeah, now Dublin Castle is what? You can go to Dublin Castle to the upper courtyard to what? To actually see the count? Have a party in terms of don't just watch television at home? Or is there something other going on the screens?
That's right. We tweeted this basically just after polls closed last night. There's going to be 2,000 people allowed into the upper courtyard to basically view the declaration, the formal declaration, on a big screen. And it basically is first come, first served. So when they reach capacity of 2,000, then they'll have to stop because it is going to be marshalled. There could be health and safety issues. But it'll be the declaration on the screen. Now, there is separately a hall where the declaration is announced, and there's a limited number, and that's just by ticket holders, and it's 160 people get in there. So I suppose there were calls from Fianna Fáil councillor Pat McGaughill to bring this in during the week, and finally Simon Harris did.
Okay, like about 6 or 7 weeks ago, I was going, this is going to be yes, not a problem. Last weekend, I was thinking, actually, maybe the silent something underneath is now going to come through and there's going to be kind of a no thing. Would anybody have been genuinely kind of thinking it could have been a no up to about 6 or 7 days ago?
Well, I think all the pollsters were building in that some people might not be telling them how they really feel. And you saw in previous by-elections, like the Shannon by-election, the Shannon referendum, where there was 3 or 4 days before polling day, it was 62 for abolition. Now, we know it was a very different story on the day, and it was just over 40,000 votes in the difference to save the Shannon. So there was a concern that maybe there was this silent vote and people were afraid to give their true indications. And what, for instance, in the Sunday Business Post and Red Sea did, they decided to ask people how they'd vote and then what they thought the outcome would be, which transferred it and made it less personal. And the margin did come back, but it was still yes in their opinion polls. But obviously, there was also some really good data in the Irish Times a week or so ago, and it's saying that really that some people who were voting no were, I think it was 28%, it didn't feel comfortable talking about it.
Okay, well, one of the things that's going to come out now about it, and just in terms of all the publicity that will ensue from what looks like to be a definite yes vote, is just the fact that how it's ignited the population in terms of particularly younger people who would never have got involved, well, with all due respect to a lot of them, like who wouldn't have necessarily been running to polls to vote for anything in terms of elections or referendums or anything else, and how much it just galvanised everybody, young, old, gay, whatever, you know, straight, whatever it happens to be. Isn't that true?
That's fair enough. When we saw those scenes in the airport, we saw, you know, people coming off the ferry, coming back, young people coming back, especially to vote. And you even saw from the opinion polls, in that younger age category, over 70%, around 70% were in favour of the referendum. And anyone who's on Twitter can see, or on social media, sees the amount of people engaged in this debate and feeling very strongly about it. It is a very emotive issue. It affects people personally. And like other social questions that have been put before the referendum. But this time, we've really witnessed it and had an opportunity to witness how strongly they feel, because I suppose social media has played a big part in this referendum campaign.
And when you look at the figures, the enormously high rate of suicide and attempted suicide in gay and lesbian kids, etc., this is the last bastion, is it, of institutionalised homophobia, if you like. I mean, the institutionalised part of it, whatever about the personal lives of people for the next few hundred years, that it's still out there in the community, whatever. But the point is, it really is the last one. And something, what, 22 years since...
It was in 1993, that's right, that homosexuality was decriminalised. Yeah. And but you also have to remember, civil partnership just came in 2010. And of course, we now have the Children and Family Relationships Bill, which deals a lot with adoption and so forth. But there's been a lot of movement in a very limited period. And I suppose for many in the gay and lesbian community, this is the last landmark, or one of the last.
Indeed, so it can't go back to what it used to be for the LGBT community or the citizens of Ireland. So that's obviously has to be, everybody would agree that that's a good thing. So if it has ignited the population to have an active part in their Ireland, i.e. the younger people in that, that's another side of the whole thing in terms of just what that might mean in terms of future referenda or whatever the plural is, or future elections or whatever, just in terms of what people might do now in terms of getting involved in things where they can have a decision about their own futures. So if you look at the people that came home and have arrived at airports, etc., and those that were there from San Francisco and Abu Dhabi, just looking at New Zealand and everything in the papers this morning, it's a great encouragement for sort of a whole new swathe of people that you thought might have been lost to politics.
It is, but I wonder, is this such a personal issue, such an emotive issue that affects so many people? But many people, and I think it's fair to say, have, based on the early indications, that have said that the turnout is more indicative of a general election than a referendum. Remember, if you go back to the Shannon, and it's more about a reform or an alleged reform, it was 39% turnout. If you go to children's referendum, which was a social question, the turnout was only 33%. You'd have to go way back to divorce, where it was 62%. Right. Indications are it is going to be up around the 60% mark. We have to wait and see. But I think the nature of the question, and because it affected so many people, and one of the features of this campaign is those personal contributions on both sides. But so many people came out, not just to vote yes, but came out and said, I am gay, whether it was Leo Varadkar, the Minister for Health, Pat Carey, whether it was Ursula Halligan. And those personal contributions, you also had people on the other side making their contributions and how they felt about their families and what this would mean. Now, Mary McAleese also came out, which was very unusual, because her son is gay, and she made her contribution to the campaign and why she believed it should be passed.
Yeah, indeed. Miriam Lord, actually, in the Irish Times this morning, is giving awards for players in an intense campaign, as she calls it, and politicians of the campaign, etc., the usual suspects award, and the hardest worker of the campaign. And she also gives the mammy of the campaign, who you mentioned is Mary McAleese, etc., a big picture of Ursula Halligan there as well. And she has a great quote. She says, she said, I can't believe I'm doing this. I can't believe I'm telling everyone I'm 54. Anyway, the thing is that there's one here in terms of the hardest worker of the campaign. It says there can only be one winner here, and that's the RT stopwatch. You know, we were going to get a loan of Marion's stopwatch in the programme last week, but now it doesn't matter. I can say yes, 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 no, no, no. It doesn't matter how many times I say it. I don't have to balance the shagging thing out. It's unbelievably stupid carry-on in terms of having to be kind of fair to both sides, whatever, because it just doesn't make any sense. You have to be human beings on the radio. Anyway, point about it is that you're going to be working, what, all day? Will you be kind of... You're nothing part... You haven't anything to do with the Dublin Castle side of things,
have
you?
I actually am heading to Dublin Castle after the Morning Ireland. And just in case you think we're going to have a light day, there is something called the Eurovision Song Contest. And
well, what a night that's going to be in the city centres of Ireland today.
But there's a special news bulletin after that, after midnight, so we'll still be here then. And by the way, we should make the point that this referendum campaign, whether it's on CNN, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, US Today, Nine News in Australia, Al Jazeera, BBC, a lot of international interest in this campaign. It's quite extraordinary.
There's a lot of stuff in the paper about that. So listen, I better let you get to do some damn work and get earn your wages. Martina Fitzgerald, thanks a million for talking to us, Martina, and have a good long day and enjoy the Eurovision in the middle of it if you can.
Thank you very much.
All right, good luck. See you. Take it easy. That is Martina Fitzgerald. Now, let me see if I might as well play a song that goes with all of this in some way. The Changing of the Guard and all the rest of it. And why not? This guy here. He's 74 tomorrow. Bob Dylan.